All right, got a lesson for tonight is on the devil. But we're missing some people. And I think we're going to wait until next week. Yeah, I think we'll wait until next week for this. And we haven't done this in a while, so I think this evening we're just going to open it up for Bible questions. And see how it goes. Remind me when you ask a question, I need to repeat it, because although I can hear you, the microphone doesn't really pick you up well. So it's not going to pick up the question. I'm going to give an answer to a non-question. Right. So remind me when you ask the question to repeat the question before we continue on from there. Amen? Hey, Gary. Good to see you, man. All right. So, Brother Kenny, if you would please open us in a word of prayer this evening. Amen. Amen. All right. Almost forgot this again. All right. Who has a question to start us off tonight? Just whatever you wanna ask, we'll go ahead and we'll hit on it, and we'll just kind of see how it goes. Evening, y'all. We just started. Tonight we're just doing Bible questions. So if you have a question about the Bible, ask it, and I will do my best to give you an answer from the Bible. But let's try and keep it to one at a time, and go from there. Might have to. I don't know. Oh, good. Thank you, Pauline. Yeah. Yeah, we will be going into this next week. The question is on the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? The daughters of men and all that down there in Genesis 6, right? Genesis chapter 6. Oh, okay, hold on. Hold on. That's a separate question. Okay? The sons of God, look in Genesis 6 and verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days and also after that. Are there giants after the flood? Does the Bible talk about giants after the flood? Yes, of course. You have Goliath, you have Goliath's brothers, you have the, what were they called, the Zanzumans and all them characters there, a bunch of giants. All in the area of the land of Canaan that Israel has to destroy when they come into the land. So there's giants after the flood as well. So somehow these giants are being created, and somehow they survived through the flood and are still being created. And it says, there were giants in the earth in those days and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The daughters of men bare children to the sons of God. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. That's where a lot of this mythology, the Greek mythology, and Zeus and Thor and all the rest of that stuff comes from. Every lie is a truth that's been twisted. Write it down. That's what you want to remember. Anything that's out there that's a lie that's being taught, there's a reason it came about. The lie came about to cover the truth. Okay? The cults came about to cover Christianity so that it would misdirect somebody into an error. The cults would have never existed if there hadn't been true Christianity to begin with. Right? Every lie is a truth that's simply been twisted. Verse 5 says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Right. Verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Most of the group, most of the people around there weren't perfect in their generations anymore. Why? Because the sons of God are coming in, cohabitating with the women, and basically messing up genealogically the entire human race. For what purpose? What had God promised in Genesis 3:15? The seed of the woman. He promised the Redeemer, that he would come through mankind. Jesus Christ will come through mankind. The devil knows that. The devil's going to try and stop it. So what does he do? He sends his minions, these sons of God, and attempts to defile the human race in an effort and in an attempt to prevent the promised seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, from coming. So as soon as it starts getting bad and with all the other wickedness going on, God just says, I'm just going to come in, I'm just going to send in a flood, and I'm going to wipe them all out. So who are these sons of God? Look in Job chapter 1. Now next week when we're looking at our study on Satan, don't get mad when you get a repeat of all this again. All right, but I just want to give you a basic understanding this evening. And look in Job chapter 1 and verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. The Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Where are the sons of God? They're walking to and fro in the earth. They're walking up and down in it. That's where they're at. All right. How'd they survive the flood? Real simple. They're under the earth. Can't flood them out. See? And then they show up, and then they can go back under. That's why giants show up again after the flood. Those sons of God are still around. Okay? And those sons of God do what? They corrupt the seed. They come in to corrupt the seed. Obviously, they're still around in Job's day. They must live a long time, if not eternally. Okay. Well, the Giants, yeah, that's the NBA. But the sons of God, yes, they are still around. Now, every lie is a truth that's been twisted. See, vampires live forever. They need blood to live. Right? And they don't like crosses. What is that all about? See? Vampires turn into bats, a picture of an unclean spirit. Right? Well, I'm just telling you, if you compare it to the sons of God, there's a lot. It's a lie, but it's been twisted from the truth. Every lie is the truth that's been twisted. Yeah, they're real. Look in Daniel. Look in Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Can't remember it. He's mad. And finally finds Daniel. Daniel says, I can interpret it by the power of God. God can do it. Tell me the dream and the interpretation. So Daniel tells him the dream. What's the dream? He sees this image. His head is of gold. His arms and his chest are of silver. His belly and his thighs are of brass. His legs are of iron. And his feet are of iron and clay. And it's representative of the Gentile kingdoms that are going to be on the earth until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Daniel chapter 2. verse 37. Thou, O King, art a King of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. Wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold, Babylonian kingdom. Thou art this head of gold. That's Babylon. See, that's Nebuchadnezzar. He's talking to Nebuchadnezzar. After thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. That's the Media-Persia kingdom. And another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. That's the kingdom of Greece. All right, Alexander the Great. Verse 40, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, Rome. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the toes. Now we're at the toes. How many toes? 10 toes, right? You got that. Okay. And as the iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces. Verse 41. Whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be into the strength of the iron. Okay? That gets you into the Roman Catholic system and their reigning and ultimate end at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the Antichrist kingdom comes out of Rome. Verse 42. As the toes of the feet were part of iron, part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. What? Where'd that come from? Well, who is it back there in Genesis 6 mingling with the seed of men? But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. What are you? You're clay. What are they? Iron. And yeah, you better watch out for Iron Man. You know what they're looking for? An Iron Maiden. Listen, I was in the rock music scene a long time ago. And all that stuff going on right there, that's all, they're in touch with what's going on. See? That's why they, listen, those rock musicians, they know who Leviathan is. Yeah, half the preachers in Pensacola may think he's a hippopotamus, but they know who he is. Amen. See? They know that stuff. So what you've got going on is, during the Antichrist days, there's 10 toes that are cohabitating once again. They're Iron Men. There it is. Those 10 toes, you know what they are? Look over in Revelation 17. Revelation 17, verse 12. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now you can hear a lot of these prophecy conferences and all that. They always want to talk about the, watch out for the European 10 Federation. They don't want to say Roman. They're afraid they might offend somebody, so they don't want to teach you the Bible. They'd rather you not know the Bible and not offend someone than actually teach you the Bible, even if it means offend somebody. You see, that's what's going on there. But according to this, Mystery Babylon, this Roman system, there's 10 kings. It didn't say 10 kingdoms. Where'd you get that from? You can't find that anywhere in the Bible. That's something somebody made up because they're watching a TV and they're reading their newspaper, and then they interpret the Bible according to the newspaper so they can sell books. That's all that's going on. The 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, telepathy. They shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Boom. What were the sons of God doing? They were cohabitating, and there was offspring. right? What did the offspring become? Giants. Doesn't the Bible say that the Antichrist will be more stout than his fellows? Isn't Saul a picture of the Antichrist, who is head and shoulders above the people? Isn't Goliath a picture of the Antichrist, who is taller than everybody else? Okay. So, yeah, they're still around. They're under your feet. People say there's aliens, outer space. No, they ain't coming from out there. They're coming from down there. Yeah, they can move around out there, but this is they're banished to this place, right? They're trying to get back what was once originally theirs, right? What was it the devil told Adam and Eve? You shall be as what? The sons of... How could he say you shall be as gods if they didn't know what he was talking about? You'd be like them. Okay. Is this along the same question, or is this a different question?
This is probably a good question.
Okay.
When is the Antichrist coming?
When is the Antichrist coming? Just at. Just right at. That's when the tribulation begins. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He'll probably show up right before we leave. Yeah. Which hopefully is this year. Sooner the better. Sooner the better. Yeah. Amen. All right. See, now look in Daniel 11. No. I thought Revelation. All right, here's talking about the Antichrist, verse 36. Daniel 11:36. The king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself, magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. You got your tribulation, it's got to take place, right? Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. Thy desire shall be unto thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Antichrist doesn't believe that. He's a woman's liver. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not. Shall he honor with gold and silver, with precious stones, and pleasant things. Who's he honoring? A God? Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many. Who's the them? It's the strange God. The strange God is a them. Did you see that? Now all this stuff, listen, the stuff I'm showing you now, I can only show you in a King James Bible. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And it says, verse 39, thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge. What's the most strongholds? Underground bunkers? Underground. Whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. They're here. They're real. They visited us from another planet. They're here to help. Whatever. And he shall cause them to rule over many. And he shall divide the land for gain. What did we just read in Revelation 17? There are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. He shall cause them to rule over many. Who's the them? It's a strange God. It ain't 10 nations. It ain't just regular 10 schmoes off the block. They're strange gods that he's causing to reign. Now you see that? There's your sons of God. There's 10 of them. The Bible told you that. Told you they're going to show up again with the Antichrist to take over the world. All right, now, you are asking a question in regards to that about the length of days of man, right? Okay, okay. Look back, well, first of all, in Genesis 3, before the fall of Adam and Eve, how long did man live? Oh, the question is, how long are the people, why is there a difference in how long people lived throughout the Bible, basically, and when did it change and what caused it to change? Am I right? That's the question? We're going to get to that, but I mean, that's your question, right? I'm going to cover that, and we'll cover that as well, all right? Because I want to cover that whole thing. And so, before Adam and Eve fell, how long did man live on the earth? Before they fell? Forever, right? Okay, now all of a sudden they start dying. Well, sin enters the picture, right? What else did God do besides just the sin? He curses the ground. Look there in Genesis 3. Verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistle shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for thus thou art, but unto dust shalt thou return. Right? And so man's living 900 and some years old. You see that in Genesis 4, Genesis 5, right? Now in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, the Lord said, verse 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. All right? Why did God... That isn't talking about the length of a man's days before he dies. God just told you how long before the flood comes. From the time that God comes to Noah and calls him out to build a boat, there's 120 years. Now, with yourself, your wife, and your three sons and their wives, and you're still a spring chicken at the age of 500. What kind of a boat could you build in 120 years? See? It's a pretty big boat. It wasn't, you know, this story of a little yacht, you know, trying to fit all the animals in there. The size of that ark that he builds, all the known animals, a pair of all the known animals could easily fit in one story of that ark. Another story of that ark would be for all the food and the refuse, and then another story in that ark for Adam and his family. Easily. Easily. Yeah, and if Adam and if Noah and his family were smart, they'd probably take the bottom deck. I'm sure most of the smell would go up. But I'm sure they had all that worked out as well. So, then what was it that caused men to begin living shorter after the flood, right? What? They got married. No, they were already married before that. That had nothing to do with that. But the idea there was, you know, you didn't live any longer when you got married. It just seemed that way, right? Oh, somebody told you that, huh? Somebody's a goofball. You watch somebody that never eats meat and see how they do health-wise. You think they're going to live to 900-some years old? That's just somebody that has absolutely no sense whatsoever. How can you talk to somebody like that? And he was a pretty... Well, that explains it. Right. Well, then just don't eat any more meat and you'll live forever. Right? I mean, those people down there in Cuba, they ought to be real healthy, right? Because they hardly ever get any meat to eat, according to our missionary. So God told them to eat meat after the flood because he wanted them to die younger. That's what you'd have to say, right? Yeah. Yeah, 9-3? Yep. Yep. All right, look what happens right after the flood, verse 20 of chapter 8. Genesis 8, verse 20. Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. God smelled a stinking mess. It was meat, and God hates meat. No. God smelled a sweet savor. Ooh, steak, man. The Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. While the earth remaineth, verse 22, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Curse the ground again. When God flooded the earth, he cursed the ground again. And then said, I won't do it anymore. So the ground was cursed from Adam and Eve, original sin. It's then cursed again at the flood. So after the flood, what happens? You start watching the age go down to where we are now. Where is it now? What did 3:10? That's in the Psalms somewhere. Where David talking about the life of man. Psalm 90. Verse 10, the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Boom. So, 70 to 80 years. That's the lifespan of man. That's it. Say, what if I eat this and don't do that? Well, 70, 80 years. That's the lifespan of man. But I know so-and-so, and that, yeah, okay, there's exceptions. The fact that it's an exception doesn't prove anything. It just proves that because it's an exception, shows you it doesn't happen a lot. See? Now, yeah, you can take care of disease and you can take care of other things that'll stop a lot of people from dying earlier than they need to, right? But that's God doing that for this country, to bless this country. Most all that stuff that came out and all those cures came here. Because God was blessing and helping and protecting this country because our country was doing right and loving God. What's happened lately? You got new diseases showing up again. You can't read through your Bible very much and find all that stuff comes from God to begin with. There's plagues. That's just the Lord. You do right and you're a nation that fears God and seeks to do His will. Hey, the Lord will bless you and take some of those things away. And when you don't, He'll bring you back in. That's all. Go to wherever you've got a bunch of demonic stuff going on and a bunch of witchcraft and everything else. You got disease and plagues all over the place. One follows the other every time. So this idea of the length of your days, why, honestly, why would you want to live a really long time if you were saved? Something's weird there. Somebody's got the whole thing perverted around. Okay. Somebody's forgotten what it said over there in Colossians about those that are will worship and touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the traditions and doctrines of men. Then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For your life is hid with God in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with Him in glory. Why would you be so fixated on this stuff down here? That's where the church has gone to, but that's the problem there. All right, now, I hope that kind of answered that question. That 120 years, that's the time from there, is 120 years until the flood comes. Right. Yes. I have said ye are gods, and all ye shall die like the children of men. Well, they're connected with the devil. Yeah. See? They were originally considered the sons of God. They rebelled with the devil. That's who rebelled with the devil. No, they were the sons of God. Yeah, a lot of people try and make them the same. I don't, because the Bible doesn't. So why would you? Yeah. Yeah. Well, Schofield's not very good on some of that stuff. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, they come up with all kinds of weird stuff there. Like the sons of God were the daughters were the sons of the godly line of Seth, and the daughters of men were the wicked line of Cain. So I guess the way they had that figured out, that then why is it that only Noah got in if they were all godly line? Isn't that a strange thing? Why didn't those sons of God get in the ark? See, it's just craziness. It doesn't fit. Mm-hmm. See, that whole thing with the sons of God, that goes all the way back to the original thing. That's the original creation and all that. And you're the replacements. You understand that? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now, we're the replacements. God said, fine, I'm going to give me my own children. See? That's what that whole thing's about. See, this is why we're here. That fall had something to do with them sons of God and the devil, and God deciding he wanted children. No, they were fallen angels. Angels are ministering spirits. They're spirits. They can take on a flesh form. When a spirit takes on a flesh form, it's an angel. That's all. Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're spirits. Unclean spirits. They're unclean spirits. Mm-hmm. What are angels? Yeah, look in Hebrews. We do a whole study on this in about 3 or 4 weeks anyway. But. Hebrews chapter 1. Keep it down back there, please. Hebrews chapter 1, look at verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Their job is just to minister to us. We're the heirs of salvation, not them. Look back there in verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he, at any time, thou art my son? Now, how can you say the fallen angels are the sons of God? See? You're talking about a different group there. Now, did they fall? Did angels fall? Yes. Did the sons of God fall? Yes. Did the spirits fall? Yes. The demons and all? Yeah, there was a big fall. There was a big cataclysmic event that took place. Thus, the entire earth is flooded out, and God starts over again. And when he does, he makes Adam and Eve. And Adam is who? The son of God. See? The devil comes right in there. Boom! To get it back for his crew, the sons of God. See? The devil's got his children, and God has his. And guess who wins? Amen. All right. Yes. Well, sons of God, yep, we're kind of... But you don't find anywhere in the Bible where there's female angels. Nowhere. Every time an angel shows up, he shows up as a man. Nothing else. You don't find it anywhere in the Bible. Every time they're men. Look over there in Matthew. Huh? I don't think it's that early. Here it is. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. That's why you're sad, you see. And asked him, saying, Master Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren. The first, when he had married a wife, deceased. Having no issue, he left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Why don't the angels marry? Because they're all men. Yeah, there's no need for that. Why would we marry in heaven? We're already eternal. We don't need to be fruitful and multiply. We're supposed to be doing that now. Preacher's always getting on us about witnessing and telling them. This is what we're supposed to be doing now. Being fruitful and multiply. It's going to be too late up there. See? You're all going to be men then. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Yep. It's going to be a change for all of us, for crying out loud. We're going to have the mind of Christ. We're going to have eternal bodies. We're going to be able to move at the speed of thought. We're going to have powers and abilities beyond anything you could ever imagine. You know? No. See? The only reason that you have females is to reproduce. That's it. What? Oh, I know. I know, but that's why the church is given the feminine. That's why it's called the Bride of Christ. See? We're supposed to be reproducing. See? But in heaven, that's not necessary anymore. Right. What? Right. Yeah, there's nothing to clean. What? Yeah. No dust. No dust. Can you imagine? No septic tanks? I mean, think about it. You know, you don't have to use the bathroom in heaven. So what's the big deal if there's some other parts of you that are changed? I mean, just think the thing through. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to keep having, what are you, a Mormon? You want to keep having kids in heaven and all that? You know, that's the spirit babies. All right, let's, where are we at? Another question. Oh, does it talk about knowing your relatives in heaven and stuff like that? Well, you'll know everybody that's saved in heaven.
I mean, will it be on the same basis as it is on
earth?
No.
Well, no, it won't be on the same basis only because this, you'll have perfect love, which means you'll love everybody as much. Well, we're all family. We're all the sons of God. We're all brothers and sisters. And in heaven, it'll be obvious because we'll know our Father. We'll see Him face to face. And we're all His children. We're all brothers, see? We're all the sons of God. We're all brothers. He's the Father. Our oldest brother is who? Jesus Christ. He's the firstborn among many brethren. See? Among many what? Now, see, you can't study your Bible much without missing. You can't miss that. That thing's all the way through there. Because as the church, we take on the feminine with the Father, with the Lord as far as marriage, because the picture is becoming one. We become one with Christ just as a man and woman become one. When they become one, what's the result? Being fruitful and multiplying. If a church is really one with the Lord, you ought to see offspring. You ought to be winning souls to Christ. You know what? Let me say something here. I'm kind of sick and tired of these goody-two-shoes Christians. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't cuss. I know, you don't do anything. Especially tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ and get people saved. So what are you doing? Talking all the time about what you're not doing? Wonderful. What are you doing? You see? You know, the Lord didn't just save you just to not do things. You got a lot of these churches, you know, look how wonderful and clean-cut they are, and they ain't doing anything for missions, they're not doing anything on visitation, they're not doing anything to win people to Christ. If anybody ever does come in, they give an altar call and have them come down and fill out a piece of paper and say, congratulations, you're a Christian, now let's get you baptized. Boom. It's going on all over the place. See? You know who's winning most of the souls to Christ? It's Bible-believing Christians. And then after they get saved, then the charismatics come along and say, oh, I'm a Christian too, to mess you up. You didn't hear from them until after you got saved, and all of a sudden here they come. Yeah, or all the cults and everything else. Yeah. Yeah, especially Southern Baptists. Because they don't know anything. They're not taught anything. Preston? A 100 years ago, it was unheard of. All of a sudden, it's a big deal. Why? Great revival. Ask them. That proves we're having great revival. No, that's the great falling away. It's all flesh. It's all look at me. It's all ooh. It has nothing to do with Bible at all. There's nobody that could just be reasonable and read through 1 Corinthians 14 and come to the conclusion that you're supposed to try and speak with tongues. 1 Corinthians 14. And that whole tongues thing is just nonsense. Yeah, that's slain in the spirit stuff. No, it's not in the Bible. Brother, it's just stuff they make up. Most of them have female preachers. Where's that in the Bible? They don't care about what the Bible says about anything. They use the Bible when it's convenient for their ministry. Oh, the qualifications? 1 Timothy 3. I'm sure you could have asked a charismatic that, they would have known off the top of their head, too. They don't know the Bible at all. They know a couple of verses. Jehovah's Witnesses know more Bible than most charismatics. Amen. Yeah, right. Yeah, they had a special on 2020, or one of these had a special on the on these guys speaking in tongues, and they actually put all the different, you know, diodes or whatever they put on their head, and then they waited until they, you know, they started praying and speaking in the tongues, and then they were looking at it, and they said the whole front lobe was dead. There was no activity, which is the area of speaking. Now, the charismatics looked at that and said, see, God's taken over. No, see, you're an ignoramus. Your brain isn't working. You want to show me that in the Bible? We've got 1 Corinthians 14. Look at verse 32. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 32. You got it? Look at it in your Bible. It's in your Bible. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. See, what does that mean? The spirit is subject to you, not the other way around. The spirit doesn't take over. What is all that nonsense? Holy Spirit never does that. He works with your will, not against it. There's never this just surrender your will kind of stuff. No, you want to surrender yourself to Jesus Christ? Fine. Quit sinning, get in church, and do something for Him. I couldn't do that. Yeah, but you're surrendered. Surrender has to do with consecration. Consecrating your life to a holy life. See, what's the holy? From the Holy Spirit. See? See, what's the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Tongues? No, it's holiness. So, I mean, just the whole thing. We go through the whole 1 Corinthians 14. I mean, it's just one blast after another against speaking in tongues. Paul said, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Because I ain't helping you. How's that helping anybody? What's that doing? Nothing. Except saying, hey, look at me. Yeah, causing confusion. Exactly. Look at verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Verse 34. Now you see that? It's the same spirit behind all that stuff. You're being warned. God shows you that right there. Yeah, not permitted unto speak. Well, they didn't read the rest of the chapter. Why would they start there? You understand? They don't believe the Bible. They like parts of the Bible that go along with what they want to believe. They don't believe the Bible.
I had a confrontation with a woman that was saved from the devil.
Oh, yeah.
She came at me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But this one was
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she thinks Benny Hinn is it, probably.
Well,
yeah,
that's
right.
That's what first right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And her voice changed.
Uh-huh.
Her count has changed.
Yeah.
And I was proud.
Yeah, it was the sweet spirit of Christ you were feeling.
And I was proud between a counter and her, and I'm thinking, do I go over? And I thought, I said, Lord, you gotta fix this. And she calmed right down and
turned
around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, she's so angry. No, that's
how you get demon possessed right there.
Well, she was. I mean,
it's this, let yourself go. Bring yourself into a trance, just like you do on drugs or music, see? And just get down there and just say, oh, God, just take me and fill me and oh, do whatever. And God, just, I'm all yours and come in, Lord. And I thought he was already in. Well, then who are you inviting? it's not like it is. That's the point. The whole idea of all that is to hypnotize you. See? You know what that spirit is? It's the same spirit that you use to charm a snake. Oh, yeah. Well, see, they see that stuff and they think that's being spiritual. I can do that and I don't have to get right with God and I can make believe I am. Honest to God, that's what's going on. If you get with those people and you start talking, you hang around, you find out that, man, they don't have any idea about what real holiness is. They have no idea about purity. They have no idea about separation from the world. None of that stuff.
I played softball for that church he was talking about this before I got saved. Uh-huh. I almost got in a fight when I was building one of them.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say that. They were just like me.
Right. Yeah.
Seriously, they acted the same way.
Right.
Yeah, but they thought it was a Christian and I never went back. I was like, what kind of another thing?
Yeah.
It's harmless outreach. It's kind of like Christmas first. I mean, everybody's Christmas, so
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they got the golden calf already. Just come worship. Oh, yeah. That's what it's about. Yeah. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, you'll find that's what the devil was connected with, music. Isaiah 14 talks about his vials. Ezekiel 28 talks about his pipes and organs. The purpose of music is for worship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what he was saying is like, you know, the music you heard there, which is the guitars, the drums, the beats, and all that, gets you kind of just flowing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that flowing stuff is my hand and my foot tapping more than actually, you know, worshiping or
right.
Getting out of God.
Right. It's flesh. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit, it's sensual. It's a different spirit. It's based on the senses. What I feel, what I hear, what I see. That's not faith. Faith isn't based on the senses. Faith is just based on believing what is written. Yeah? 14. Ezekiel 28. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. There, all right. Brother Gary, you want to ask the Lord to bless the food and the fellowship, please?